turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll begin reading there just the first 9 verses, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. And I say hallelujah tonight. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, he said he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the fullness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." I want you to pay special attention to this next verse. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich..." "Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Father, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for every blessing and good mercy. God, now for the space of a few minutes, it would be pleasing to you, Father, we pray. God, that you'd help us to preach. God, may you receive all glory and honor. We give praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I thought about this Macedonian church here and the example of giving that's left us in the Scriptures. And those first 6 verses record the sacrificial love of the Macedonian church. They were willing to give to the relief of the poor. In spite of their great poverty, they gave in the abundance of their joy and to the riches of their liberality. They gave beyond their power. My friend, but the Bible says first they gave their own selves to the Lord. I believe that the key to missions is found in that verse where the Bible says first they gave their own selves to the Lord. I thought about this, and certainly Liberty Baptist Church in Bowdoin, Georgia has set a great example and followed the example of the Macedonian church found here in the Scriptures. One preacher said it like this. He said that missions is the heartbeat of the church. Another preacher, my pastor there in Kentucky, said it like this. He said, "If a man will give his heart to the Lord, you won't have to worry about the wallet." My friend tonight, these are verses that are common. Each and every one of us that have been to missions conferences and meetings like that, these are very common Scriptures. I doubt this evening that I've said one thing that you've not already heard and that you've already witnessed by the example of your own church. But I want to preach tonight. I want to preach on missions. But I want to preach on the sacrificial love of Christ. Oh, my friend, this evening, everything that's been said here tonight goes along with the thought that the Lord's laid on my heart. thank you, Lord. I believe that Jesus has been lifted up and exalted here this evening. I want to preach for just a few minutes, positionally and practically, on the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, I want you to notice that, first of all, the Bible says that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. I thought about Jesus there, the Creator, the God-man, who spoke this world into existence, who never had a contemporary thought, who never sinned, was born into this world, took upon Him, listen, of the seed of Abraham, robed Himself in this flesh, yet without sin. They can find no guile in His mouth. But my friend, they took my Lord up Calvary's hill, and there Jesus shed His blood that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I say, glory! Hallelujah! Where am I? I mean, why God spoke there in the Old Testament, and the ground swallowed up Korah. I mean, He rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. My friend, but Jesus, as He hung there on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And beloved, tonight, each and every one of us that are here, that's been saved by the marvelous grace of God, we've been made rich through His poverty. Oh my. I want to say, first of all, this evening, that we're rich in redemption. Oh my. I mean, beloved, you go to the store. You go to your place of business. You go down the street. You go to the schoolhouse. You go to the courthouse. And people say, how you doing? And sometimes we'll say, oh, we're doing pretty well. We're doing okay. Sometimes we'll be more honest than we really ought to be. The old timers in our part of the country used to say tolerable well. How you doing, tolerable well? But my friend, you know what we ought to say? We ought to get in the habit, when somebody says, how you doing? We ought to say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Set free from the bondage of sin and the condemnation of the law. Well, glory. I mean, God's good. We've been made rich in redemption. I thought about there, and Paul wrote that letter to the church at Ephesus. There in chapter 2, and verse number 4, he said, but God, well, glory, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, we're rich tonight in redemption. Oh, listen tonight, honey. You may not feel like you have a whole lot in this world, but I want you to know, if you're saved, you've got all of heaven and the wealth of the Creator. You've been made to be an heir and a joint heir in Christ Jesus. Well, glory. I thought about my own condition, and really the condition of every sinner, that in their state of unregeneration, how we were dead. I mean, spiritually dead, not able to comprehend or understand the things of God. We were poverty ridden, poverty stricken, unrighteous, unholy, vessels of clay. But now, in Christ Jesus, I have everlasting life, perfect peace, a sufficient grace, a constant love, and unfailing promises. Glory! Hallelujah! I mean, beloved, tonight, I mean, we have the riches of heaven. I mean, he said, in our text, he said that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. I just can't help it, Brother Ken. I'm just an old-timer at heart. I remember them old-timers getting up and preaching there when I was growing up. And I've noticed something over the years, something that's changed in this modern-day world in which we live. I remember them old-time preachers. They didn't have much education. Most of them hadn't hardly been past the eighth grade. Didn't hardly have two nickels to rub together. They worked in the mines. They worked in the sawmill. But honey, they loved God. And they talked about things like old-time conviction. And they plead with sinners to come to the mourner's bench and repent of their sins and receive Christ by faith. Fair glory. But I remember something about them old-timers. They preached, fair glory. They preached with tears in their eyes. Oh, I've seen them standing. Oh, weeping. I mean, they'd plead. I mean, they were trying to tell us sinners about what Jesus had done at Calvary. And they'd plead with them to get saved. And I'm glad at age of 14, hey, the Holy Ghost of God have come by my way, have convicted me of my sin, let me know that I was lost and in need of a Savior. And I made my way. Glory. Glory. I made my way to an old-fashioned altar. And there, God forgave me of my sin. I cried out to God to save me for Christ's sake. And He set my feet on a solid rock. And I've not been the same ever since. I've been headed to heaven ever since. I was there when my high school sweetheart got saved. 16 years of age. The old preacher there at the Fellowship Baptist Church was preaching. I grabbed her hand and looked at her. I said, you want to go to the altar? She stood up. And we went to the altar. And God saved her. For glory. And baptized her in Bell Creek. Same place I was baptized. The only difference was I was baptized in the spring. She was baptized close to winter. And there was snow on the banks when my wife got baptized. But she didn't get no cold. She just got a good dose of the Holy Ghost. And God confirmed the witness in her. Well, glory. Boy, we're rich in redemption, aren't we? I mean, God's given us a lot. Think about it. Oh, my goodness. Then I want to say, He said that ye through His poverty might be rich. Not only are we rich in redemption, but we're rich in glory. We're rich in our reward. Well, glory. The Bible says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I know sometimes we like to think in terms of big I and little you, but I want you to know, honey, tonight we're all just seed sowers and water boys for the Lord, and it's God that gives the increase. Well, glory. Oh, listen. Oh, when the Lord's coming back, I mean, He may come tonight. He may step out on the clouds of glory tonight. But when He comes and receives me unto Himself, I want to have something to offer the Lord. I'm not talking about salvation. That's a gift. I was saved by the grace of God through faith. But my friend, He didn't leave us here to do nothing. He said every man would receive a reward according to his own labor. Hey, listen, tonight it's about time that God's people get about the business of the King. Sister Goad, there at the church, sang that old song years ago. And Brother Dwayne Lovis, brother, used to sing that song. He said, I came on business for the King. Hey, listen tonight. God's got a reward for us. I can't preach all that tonight, but I know one thing. The Apostle Paul told Timothy. He said there's a crown of righteousness to all them that love His appearing. My friend, I've got past listening, looking for the signs, and I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet. Well, glory. Boy, we're rich in redemption. We're rich in our reward. And I want to come to my final place tonight. We're going to be rich at His return. What about that? What about that? Brother Bowman mentioned a revival taking place there in the Philippines. And we support some missionaries also in the Philippines. And in fact, I've been over there twice every other year. Me and Brother Sewell go to the Philippines and preach there on the island of Cebu. And my friend, I noticed one thing that's different there versus many of the churches we go to here stateside. You can say something about the coming of the Lord and the house will come unglued. You know how come? They've not planted their roots too deep. They're not consumed with material things. They're just getting by day, and they're looking and they're longing for the coming of the Lord. My, oh my, be rich at His return. Well, glory. The Bible says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That last verse said, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Hey, listen, my friend. Another preacher friend of mine said it like this. He said, we talk about Jesus walking on the water, and what a great miracle. He said, what are we going to say when He steps out on the clouds of glory? Well, glory. The Bible says the Lord Himself. I thought about that. Well, glory. That doesn't mean an ambassador, not an emissary. Hey, listen, not the Pope, not a religious figure, not a good man, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to come with a shout to get us, and we'll be rich at His return. Somebody said, what about Muhammad? Oh, Muhammad and Buddha and every other false god going to get on their knees. They're going to declare Jesus to be the only begotten Son of God to the glory of God. They're going to take their place before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm glad to be on the winning side, aren't you? Hey, listen. We're going to be rich at His return. The Lord Himself is coming. I want to leave you with two thoughts. The Bible says here that He said, and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I want to say two things about that. There's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a reunion. Hey, listen, aren't you glad for that? There's going to be a resurrection and a reunion. I think about old brother Dillard Cole. He's passed on to be. He's went on to his reward. But he used to say it like this. He said, if I go in the rapture, he said, I hope that God lets me kick the devil right in the face as I go up. But honey, he's done outstripped us in this life. And if the Lord should come tonight, the only difference with brother Cole and myself, he's going to have a 6-foot head start because there's going to be a reunion in the clouds of glory. And I have people all the time ask me, well, we know our loved ones. And I say, my, oh my, we'll know them better then than we know now. I mean, I'm not going to a place to go backwards. I'm going to one of these days. Brother Ken, I've been saved on the inside. Like Brother Mitchell said, I've got a new heart and an old head. But one of these days, I'm going to get a glorified body. One fashioned like unto His. And then I can serve Him in perfect peace and in perfect harmony. My, oh my, what a day that will be. Well, glory. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to imagine that one of these days we're going to be able to worship the King free of all fleshly encumbrance, free of all fleshly and worldly drama, free of all fleshly thoughts and fleshly us. And He said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Well, glory. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Well, we're rich in redemption. Well, we're going to be rich at His return. Rich in His reward. God's faithful. I mean, you don't have to worry about God doing His part. Somebody, hey, we live in a bad economy. I know that. But the wages of sin have not changed. I mean, listen. The price of milk's went up. The price of this and that's went up. Inflation's on the rise. But I want you to know tonight, friend, that the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad to be saved? Amen. All right. Preacher, I'm finished.